Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday. We are entering the fall. You can feel it in the evenings. You can feel it in the mornings. Things change. Well, our study of human aging has changed relative to 10 years ago. There's been an explosion in the anti-aging market. And it revolves around a couple of concepts that, well, nutritional devotees have figured out a way to get this to the public. Concepts that are sometimes exaggerated, unfortunately. But there's so much information and so much discovery around genetics today. It's hitting the mainstream hospitals. Wojcicki from Google invested billions into this $99 DNA test. Some of you have heard about this. There's something called TA65. It's a supplement that's already falling out of vogue. But it enhances the rate at which the telomerase enzyme works. And we're going to get into what that means. Really, what I want to do today is get you concepts so you start to get friendly with these words, because you're going to hear them. Some of you are going to be unfortunately manipulated by them. We have everybody from the low-end nutritional companies to the highest echelons of science extrapolating out of basic concepts and real science, extrapolating out of it to kind of, well, I'd say slant your perspective on how to make these discoveries functional. So today I want to discuss telomeres. I want to discuss methylation. I want to discuss epigenetics, and I want to discuss HUI. And that's the name of the show today. Telomeres, methylation, epigenetics, and HUI. HUI as in bozo talk. HUI as in you're going to get ripped off if you don't get clear on what these words mean. If you can, of course, get to the website. You're going to need the website today if you can. If you can't, use your imagination. Listen extra hard. Some of you will have a headache by the end of today's show. That's why I archive the shows. This is show 277. Get to the website, straighttalk.ccnot.com. And get on this train, because it's coming. If you would, get to the website. And I want you to check out this. I put a YouTube clip on top. It's on Bill Andrews, a telomere researcher. And I want to get into that later. So just know that there's a YouTube there. But if you look at picture number one, this is National Geographic this month. The end of blindness, winning the fight to see. And if you read the article, they actually take people who were blind, kids, or who were going blind. They make the modifications in their DNA. In other words, they're blind because, or going blind because of a defective sequence, a defective nucleotide sequence in the strand of DNA. And again, if you're not familiar with the terminology, let me cut to the chase. Genetics comes down to chromosomes, comes down to genes, and the genes are just strings of things that we call nucleotides, which are little molecules, and those molecules vary from cytosine to guanine and so on and so forth. There's only five or six, and the sequence of these, which is infinite in a chain of DNA nucleotides, that sequence codes in the nucleus of the cell for all sorts of different things to occur. And of course, these DNA sequences are constantly breaking down. And the body's got thousands of, well, not thousands, but hundreds of repair mechanisms to counterbalance what we call DNA degradation, or the breakdown in natural aging of these DNA sequences in one form or the other. So nothing really new to the human body. Our cells, so not our DNA, are always breaking down, and there's always something that God put there to put it back together. And this, of course, now we're discovering is going on in the DNA itself. And we've known this for many, many years, but now we're starting to find the things that get repaired in the DNA through certain mechanisms that we can actually use as markers for aging. In this case, the telomere, which is the tip of the chromosome, or the tip of the DNA strand, really. When these things called telomeres break down, every time the cell divides, they shorten. When they finally get too short, the cell doesn't divide well anymore. And lo and behold, you're in bad shape. Whatever disease you were going to get, because somewhere else along your genetic sequence, somewhere else you were predisposed or coded towards a disease, now you're going to get the disease because the tip of the chromosome broke down. So what all this ballyhoo about genetics comes down to is that we're looking for ways to go into your body to analyze markers or signs, things that are waving at us saying, hello, take a look at this, that are going to predict when you're going to get sick or what zone. Well, I'm all for it. You know me. I love the science. I love extrapolating good science into holistic medicine. I love that. That way we know what planet we're on. Otherwise, holistic medicine, well, it could be reduced to a lot of fantasy. But that aside, the premise here, the premise with the show, especially if you're new to the show, is that hard science should be supporting holistic medicine, not denigrating it, not denying it. So here we are with this DNA age and the end of blindness. And you can't knock it. If you read the article in National Geographic, they cure some young little kid's blindness. We've done this with Bubble Boy, that disease where the baby's born, it has no immune system, and it has to live in a bubble. That one they've also cured. Genetic engineering is real, and it's being used today. I think fairly soon down the pipe will be, well, I don't want to say, I'll say this, down the pipe pretty soon we'll be capable, most likely, of curing diabetes, at least type 1 diabetes. It's a simple little organ, and we're already there, able to basically go in and genetically engineer pancreas. So there's a lot coming down the pipe. And as you see out there again this month in National Geographic is another front cover called The DNA Revolution. I put this on picture number 2, if you're following it on the computer, hopefully. So out there in the stands today, just this month, Discover Magazine, The Science of Aging, and there's a big double helix on the front page. Just this month today, out there in National Geographic, The End of Blindness. Out there today, front page of another National Geographic, some special edition, is The DNA Revolution. I mean, it's everywhere. It was predicted. You know, in the last 100 and so years, there was kind of this loose, not competition, but there was this focus on was quantum mechanics, was the Einstein stuff, the Heisenberg uncertainty principle stuff. Was this stuff going to have the greatest functional significance over the next 100 years? Or was it going to be the DNA revolution, 1952, Watson and Crick? And they've kind of been going back and forth. As of 10 years ago, the DNA stuff is probably in the lead. And we're hitting a precipice now. We really and truly are. So here's this DNA revolution, and Wojcicki from Google spent billions, and I don't think we'll stop, on this $99 DNA test. So get used to it, get educated about it, because it's going to be manipulated on many levels. One level is it's going to promise you a lot of garbage based on marketing and marketing in the nutritional area. There's a product called TA65. There it is. If you look at picture 14, TA65, it's the telomerase complex. Supposedly you spray this on and it repairs your damaged telomeres by enhancing the rate and efficiency of the telomerase enzyme. Now, there you go. This is what I mean. At the same time, without really discussing not just genetics, but epigenetics, hard science, not TA65 science, but hard science, the science in your hospitals, is going to accomplish the same type of manipulation, but from the other side. You're going to get squeezed like your head in the middle of a vise, and on one end of the vise are nutritional claims that are bogus, and on the other end of the vise, you're going to have hardcore, supposedly mainstream allopathic medicine asking you to cut your breasts off prematurely because you've got too many markers for breast cancer. And if you remember a couple of shows earlier, all right, more than a couple, actually, we're overlooking the whole science and study of epigenetics, which I want to get into today. Epigenetics meaning that there are factors that are often under environmental control, meaning lifestyle choices, where you live, what you eat, how you think, so on and so forth, that will influence whether or not genes will express or not express. Angelina Jolie was, I'm sure, not informed of the epigenetic variables that would determine whether or not she could get sick. And of course, this is where the manipulation occurs on the side of what? On the side of hard science. Hard science, Western science, science at the Salk Institute, science in the hospitals, that science knows of epigenetics, but they're not calculating that in to their statements when they recommend that people sometimes do drastic things based on some genetic markers. So there's a manipulation on both ends. Again, the absolute necessity for you to understand, keeping in mind that this is science and this is a gift and this is wonderful. And you can't argue with the end of blindness. And you can't argue with the fact that Bubble Boy has been saved. And you can't argue with the fact that probably type 1 diabetes is over. So there's marvels within it. But again, you've got to have your head on straight. With that, I think I'm going to skip the YouTube for now. I think you've heard enough on that point. I want to get to some basic concepts because, first of all, what is the telomere? And the telomere, I put a great picture of the telomere. Picture number 6, if you can get to that. If you're driving, just picture the chromosome, which looks like an X. So picture an X with a circle in the middle. And on the tip of each of those lines that create the X. So if you have an X, that intersecting point in the middle is an intersection point, and off that circle in the middle come 4 legs. Now, we call those chromatids in genetics, and each of those chromatids or legs of the X at the tip, you've got this little period or dot or cover, and that cover or piece of tape at the end of each of these legs called chromatids, those are called telomeres. Now, I want you to hold that concept. You got to get this. This is where the brain's work is. You got to hold that concept, and then you got to get into a word called mitosis. If you're fortunate enough to be at the computer, go to picture number 4, and I want you to look at mitosis. Now, mitosis. Keep in mind that your cells, before you get sick, before they become useless. So when we say get sick, we simply mean that some organ or some part of your body, and of course every part of your body's alive, some part of your body had a job to do, and that job was given to the responsibility of individual cells. That single basic living unit, right? The cell. That cell has a job to do. And that cell, when it gets tired, it may die, only to find that the body's got this calculated plan that allows cells to reproduce themselves. Now, this isn't across the board done. Some cells, like your skin, like the inside lining of your small intestine, or the inside lining of your respiratory passages, or your liver, some cells, when they die, they reproduce rather easily. Cells before they die can just reproduce and they birth new cells. And those cells, after they get beat up, produce more cells. Of course, it's been argued in the past that some organs don't do that. Like your brain, it doesn't regenerate so well. When you drink alcohol, the teachers years ago would tell you, every beer you drink, you lose 10,000 brain cells and they'll never come back. And that's why you shouldn't drink. And some of us remember those days when we were scolded due to bad habits by caring teachers that were trying to point out that we'd be stupid and drunk and retarded and we shouldn't do bad things or we'd lose those brain cells. Of course, the point was common wisdom at that point said, those cells like the brain don't reproduce. Well, today that's been argued, and we have evidence to the contrary, which doesn't mean you should be young and drink. It simply means that, yes, all the cells of the body do reproduce. However, some organs reproduce too slowly, really. If the brain could reproduce as fast as the heart, there'd be no senility, no doubt about it. If the brain cells could reproduce as fast as the liver, forget it. We'd all be geniuses at 90. And this is the thing. Some organs don't reproduce too fast. But on the overall, every cell in the body is reproducing. Now, it reproduces through a process called mitosis. And mitosis, if you're looking at that picture number 4, it's broken down into a whole bunch of big words that we don't have to get into. But what it means is that every time the cell reproduces, it lines up all its genetic material center line to the cell. And once all its chromosomes, which is its genetic material, are lined up, and you can see some of these pictures on picture 4 and picture 5, where at certain phases, early anaphase, rather it's, yeah, more like early anaphase, maybe the step before that, if you want to get technical, all your chromosomes, all those chromosomes are lined up, and then they're going to split through the centromere, meaning that dot in the center is going to allow two of the legs to go in one place and two of the legs to go to the other place. So we take all chromosomes, line them up in the center, split them down the middle, and then those chromosomes replicate later on. And of course, we're calling this mitosis. This is how a cell will birth a new cell. And this is very important to regeneration, to sustenance, so on and so forth. Now we can put it together. You've got this concept, mitosis. You understand mitosis occurs variably at different rates, perhaps in some places not at all. And this is very important as far as what? Keeping your youth. If the cell's old, make a new one and keep doing that, and then there's no aging. If your skin cells could do that, they'll at a certain point, you'd never look older. So very important now, concept, the telomere. The telomere, which is at the tip of the chromosome, the telomere does not reproduce. You don't get a new telomere with mitosis. That's the key. That's what you want to sit on. That's where all the important stuff is. You don't get a new telomere with mitosis. Now you want to digest that. However, the DNA strand, right? So go to picture number 8 if you can. If you can, go to picture 8. picture eight, you're looking at, of course, the double helical DNA strand. And what you're finding there is a sequence of nucleotides, every one of those different colors, they look like the rungs to a ladder, are and represent the meeting point between two nucleotides. They each get paired a certain way. Here's the point. That double helical DNA molecule, that molecule is constantly breaking down. And part of what breaks down are those telomeres. As I said, during mitosis, during cell regeneration, you don't get new telomeres. But now here's the point. The body has many, many, many systems for DNA repair. So this double helical DNA molecule with all its strings of nucleotides is always breaking down anyway. Different conversation. And it's always being put back together. Even in basic genetics, you learn the 20 different ways the DNA breaks down and the 20 different things that the cell does to put the DNA back together. And this is occurring all the time. Well, the telomere, right? It doesn't reproduce. You don't get a new one. It breaks down. Even as the cell divides, it breaks down. Now, the telomere is important in cell replication. Remember, the new cell doesn't have a new telomere, but the telomere influences cell replication. So if you go up to your brain, no, let's take your heart, and your heart cells have to reproduce new cells. You get a new heart. You didn't know this. It's on one of my earlier shows. You get a new heart every 4 years. Check back to any of my shows on stem cells, organ regeneration. I put the hard science articles. I put them. They were so important, and they're just collecting dust in basements or somewhere lost in cyberspace. But you get a new heart every 4 years. If you have a heart attack, there's so much damage and fibrosis, it's difficult for the body to recover. But a healthy heart, your heart, my heart, whoever hasn't had massive heart problems, has actually, from the age when they were little, every 4 years or so, the cells reproduce. That regeneration of the cell doesn't give the cell a new telomere, and the telomeres begin to shorten and fragment and get more and more broken down. Finally, when the telomere is so short and so broken down, the cell can no longer replicate. So telomere shortening ends up with no cell replication. Cells that are supposed to replicate don't replicate. They don't regenerate over a period of time when the telomere gets too short. So you don't get a new telomere. And when finally your telomere wears out, you stop replicating. That's the point at which your cells become senescent. The word is senescent. I've got it on one of the pictures here. Maybe we'll look at later. It's called senescence. So now you're 75 or 80 or 85, and you've become senescent, meaning none of your organs are really doing anything. So if we went in and measured the efficiency of your organ when you were 5 years old, and then we went in and measured the efficiency of your organ, the heart pumps, the brain thinks, the liver detoxes, the kidney detoxes, the sex organs put out hormone. If we measured efficiency when you were 80 compared to 5, we'd see that there's practically nothing working anymore. You're just hanging on. We have about 10 years to go. If we live a long life at 80, you have 10 years to go. Some people wear out earlier. How long you last, they're saying now, can be measured. And again, you have to understand, measured with what precision? Measured with no precision. Excuse me. That's the thing. If you really get into this, when they go in and they measure how broken down the telomere is, they know you're approaching something. And that something's called senescence. And senescence in a cell is bad because once a cell gets broken down enough through the normal wear and tear, but it can't reproduce, well, now you're asking for big trouble. So that's the backdrop to all of this. Now, the crunch, the hit, the solution, the hero to the rescue. But before I get there, I want you to know something. This is big stuff. This is so big that in 2009, the Nobel Prize in the physiology or medicine, the Nobel Prize for Medicine, 2009, Elizabeth Blackburn, Carol Greider, and Jack Szostak, I can't really say his name. Three people shared the Nobel Prize in 2009 for the discovery of the telomeres' importance, for the discovery of how chromosomes are protected by telomeres and the enzyme telomerase. So this is big stuff. Since 2009. Now, we've known about telomeres, but what we didn't really understand is how the enzyme, and this is the point now, repairs to the rescue of the telomere, a marker for aging, without which you're going to get sick because your cells become senescent, is this enzyme called telomerase, T-L-O-M-E-R-A-S-E. And it comes in and it repairs the telomere. So you got a bunch of issues here. You got issue at number one. What is the implication of a shortening telomere? And we can do a lot of things with that. We can extrapolate out of that honestly. We can extrapolate out of that dishonestly or with some real prejudice on either side. And by either side, I mean you can go to an unnecessary surgery because you're told pretty soon you're going to lose your breast because you've got the gene for it and now your telomeres are starting to disappear, so you're close. Or you could go to the other end of it, which is we have a nutritional supplement now that we just invented that's an extract out of astragalus, and if we concentrate the good stuff in the astragalus, la-da, create TA65. Spray that on, get a couple of testimonies, add a couple of scientists who may have stock in the company or maybe just rewarded independently. And on both sides of the fence, we have the issue. Not to you because you're getting the education. And doctors get suckered into this too. For instance, astragalus, and I gave you an article at the top there. Click to view the full article on astragalus and cancer. Astragalus, it's a Chinese herb. Grown correctly, harvested, the right species. And astragalus confers hundreds of very powerful benefits to human health. A lot of this has been studied. It's been studied hard. And it's true. It's an amazing herb. We also note, and this is the to-do about astragalus, the components of the herb astragalus do what? They protect the breakdown of the telomerase enzyme. So astragalus protects your telomeres. So if you take astragalus, long legend, long fabled astragalus, thousands of years old, long fabled as an herb for longevity, yes indeed, which we know in science confers many benefits to your health, has now been linked in a very powerful way to reducing the rate at which telomerase is damaged. In other words, it protects that enzyme so that enzyme can protect your telomere. Now that's big, if it's true, and it's probably true. And so you should go out and buy astragalus. Go to your local herbalist and get a bale of it and just add that to your list of things that you should take. And of course, most of you know I'm tongue in cheek. And I want to be real clear about my perspective on this. Yes, you should, within reason, use something like astragalus. One, you've got to get good sources. Premier Research Labs, fantastic source of anything that company offers. Dragon Herbs, it's Ron Teagarden. There's a bunch of them, Dr. Schultz. You've got some very good, very honest, very seasoned companies, usually run by one person, not a corporation, although there's no sense in making rules, that will offer you these wonder kits. And there's good science and good sense behind it. However, you have to get the deeper understanding here. Or you're going to do what people do, and that's kind of the point of the show. It's one of my stumps in the show. If you're the person that simply cruises the literature to find out all these rescue herbs or supplements, CoQ10's another one of them. Then now this PQQ is another one of them. We come up with them every single month. The industry will find reasons to link some degree of scientific literature to some company that makes a better supplement. And since you know there's some validity here, you're on board. And what do you end up with? Confusion. Yes, you end up with confusion. This is my peeve. Your passion for health, your quest to learn how to use herbs, your quest to have a better life, to be 75 and 80 and 85 and 90 and still resilient and vital, should be rewarded, not confused with almost inevitably what I see happen. You buy in this, you buy in that. People love this stuff. You love to purchase. Come on, you love to purchase. You love to sit there at night, just cruise the internet, find something, use your objective critical skills to determine whether or not the supplement is worth the money you're about to spend, and then you purchase. And if you lose, so what? It's like Lotto. Some people spend $40 a week on Lotto. Spend the $40 a week on TA65 or Astragalus or some herb that promises whatever. So in a way, it's harmless, and in a way, it's a lot of fun. Here's the problem, and this is my niche. This is what I want to address. What happens when your mentality or your concept of how to use these plants from nature is plateauing? In other words, you're at the wall. And you know when you're at the wall? When you have a symptom, when you have a disease, when you have a real health concern. And because the time and the money and the energy you've invested in understanding your process is no further than an internet search, you're going to spend, now here's the point, you're going to spend a year or two or three or five or ten trying to get rid of a health concern. And you're going to proceed with the delusion that you've been given the framework to have success. Let me say that again. My peeve, and what I try to address, and the niche of the show, is to point out to you that once you get a health concern, a symptom, a problem, something bad you have to get rid of, and you don't want to have your organ cut out, and you don't want to be on a pharmaceutical drug for the rest of your life, you're going to proceed with a framework that's delusional. All you're going to do is more internet research, looking for another TA65, another herb like astragalus, only now the stakes are high because you're in pain. Because you've got a surgery coming that's bad. Because you've got a side effect of a drug that you're being told you have to stay on. Methotrexate for your rheumatoid arthritis. And you're being told you have no choice. And the framework you've developed after spending in your hobby, your passion, months, years, decades of your time, money, and energy, it leaves you incapable of taking the next step. And then you say, well, off to my practitioner. I've got a solution. Let me tell you something. Your practitioner is doing the same thing you are. I kid you not. The problem and the strength of this show, and the reason people like this show, is it tries to whittle down science to common sense, to essences that find functional translation that you can stand on. If somebody's telling you that doing gallbladder flushes, enhancing the rate at which you excrete bile. Cleaning the bile canaliculi up in the liver is not a worthy action. Really, they aren't thinking. They forgot to think. They have become as blind as the mystics that think herbs cure everything. So there really is a translation. And you're getting it, but it's costly. Sometimes you listen to the show and you get a headache. I have people listening all week long, and they listen 15 minutes and then 15 minutes and then 15 minutes and then 15 minutes. Well, if that's the way you have to do it that way. And those of you who love the show that never get to the website, never look at the pictures, bless you. You're smarter than I am. I don't know how you do it. And I don't want to chase you away or change your habits, but try to get to the website. That's straighttalk.cc, not .com, .cc with two T's, because pictures say so much. Okay, excellent. Excellent. So what about the telomere now? Look at this, picture nine. This is where it all breaks loose. Reducing stress slows the loss of the telomere. Reducing stress. Chronic stress has been shown to accelerate telomere shortening. Do you realize the implication of that statement? excuse me. I've got to change the filter on this microphone because it collects dust. Reducing stress slows the loss of the telomere. Picture number nine. Do you realize what this means? The whole industry just collapsed. That statement. Now, this is Elizabeth Blackburn on this statement. Elizabeth Blackburn is a scientist. She's a brilliant scientist of the utmost integrity. Do not think anything that I've said today other than pure respect for Dr. Blackburn applies to her in any way. This is a blurb from her. Reducing stress slows the loss of the telomere. Do you realize what that means? It realizes the telomere is no more than a marker for aging. It's all it is, and it's all it's ever going to be. It also means there's no such thing as going in there and fixing the telomere. Astragalus, if it does enhance the life of the enzyme, telomerase enzyme. Astragalus is just one of many things, only we've been able to improve it. What would you rather do? Would you rather not have stress or do a lot of astragalus? Would you rather not go through divorce or unemployment or have to move to a cold Antarctic climate because your corporation moved there? Would you rather do that? Or would you rather have a lot of astragalus? And you get my point. What we're talking about with the telomere is nothing more than science has found a marker, something that stands out as a critical mass point that associates to aging, accelerated aging, and the sort of decade or two of area, that gray zone across which you get disease, before which there's no way you're going to get disease. That's the telomere. And God bless Dr. Blackburn and the other Nobel laureates for enlightening us. But it doesn't go any further than that. And Dr. Blackburn would be the first person to agree with that statement. But you're the public, and you don't really understand this that deeply. And so once we can say the telomere, anti-aging, an extract out of an herb, and then we concentrate it, and then some company picks it up, well, then you get this. And I'm going to do this. I think this is a great time to do this. I want you to go to the top now and look at Bill Andrews on his Nobel Prize winning based research. And I don't think he won the Nobel Prize for this. I could be wrong. I don't know. But just listen to this. Now, he is a bona fide scientist, and he's a telomere researcher. This is going to be about 5 minutes. Don't click it till I tell you to click it. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But I just want you to go through the whole thing later, because I want you to take what I've said and understand how hard scientists extrapolate out of it and twist it into a corporation. And, you know, maybe they're using the money to do great things. All right. So, you know, maybe that's the equalizer. But the bottom line is, this is nonsense. Just watch. Go ahead, click. Now I've muted my end, and I'm at telomeres dictate how long you live, and that's the doctor talking about the research. And then, of course, if you go to, say, go to 40 seconds, there's an NBA legend, AC Green, and, of course, we get the star. And, of course, he does this, and it's changed his life, and he feels it, and he's working out great, and everyone wants to be like him. 59 seconds, 60 seconds if you follow. And then we go back to Dr. Andrews, and he's talking about it, and he's all proud but modest at the same time. And then we show a little bit of the science with the microscope. And then, of course, go to 1 minute and 55 seconds. Go to 155. Now we go to the news reports. The good-looking female news reporter and the handsome male, and they're talking about this thing. And they're pointing out there's a lot of research behind it, but of course they're saying that it could be nonsense. But of course you're going to buy it just to find out, because if it got to the press, it must be better than some herbalist growing reishi in his backyard. And then, of course, if you go to, let's see here, go to this page. This is the best one. Go to 2 minutes and 20 seconds. Go to 2 minutes and 20, the news at 11. There's a convention. 2 minutes, 20 seconds, there's a convention. And all these people at the convention are clapping, and it's all scientists, and Dr. Andrews is there, and everybody's up there cheering. I mean, they don't have something better to do with their time. Because this thing called whatever he's selling, all right, is the new youth pill, and it's been on the news, and it's not that expensive, and so you should buy it. Okay, end of conversation. Let's click that. And, of course, just go to this. This one I love. 254. Is this 254? Yeah, 256. We've got a female, as if those lips are real. I'm sure there's a facelift involved. And she's pointing out that vitamin C, B, E, and the rest of these herbs in there are going to give her fantastic health. And so it's just one huge assault. And you got to understand the way this works, guys. You got to understand the way this works. Look at the whole thing on your own later, but you've got to understand the way this hooey works. The way it works is now your head is in a vice, because on one end of it, you've got Kaiser Permanente telling you that you tested positive for the BRCA25 gene, which increases by 2.37941 percentile your chance of getting breast cancer. And therefore, since your mom got it, you might be very clever at this point in your life, because, catch this, your telomeres are now shortening based on something that Dr. Andrews discovered, that Dr. Andrews pioneered. And we think you should cut off your breasts. In the meantime, we're not discussing epigenetics. We're not discussing sympathetic dominance. We're not discussing the hundreds of markers you had control over that could have prevented this event. Because that would take time. It would take money. It would take education. Your doctor's visit each year would be 12 hours instead of 12 minutes. You'd be doing physical exams 3 to 4 times a year. You'd have goals, objectives. There'd be a profile on you. You'd have a string of tests that we haven't even invented yet to let us know just on the overall where you're at. You see, that's not cost effective. So what we do then is we extrapolate out of it, and you are on a list at Kaiser for an organ transplant you didn't need. Or we go to the other extreme, and that's this YouTube you just saw. You get my point. And it's all because you don't understand in the first place what anybody's talking about. Well, you're an intelligent person, and you've worked hard, and you've made some money, and you went to school, and you're a professional, or you're not a professional. but you're very smart and you feel quite competent at comprehending this. I agree with you, except one thing. There's a depth of understanding you don't ever get. You don't get it because you've already bought into the notion you don't need it. I am here to tell you, you do need it. And I gave it to you today in a simple way. I'm simply telling you that the telomere is at the end of each of the chromosomes, each leg of which is called a chromatid. And during mitotic phases, the cells to regenerate, if they can, at the rate that they are designed to do, doesn't regenerate the telomere. When the telomere shortens, it gets to the point where the cell then cannot replicate correctly. And this is when the cell, bearing the demands placed on it, like your brain cells to think, become useless or senescent. That's when grandpa sits in a chair and looks out the window. Okay, you got it. You've got that. Now, when the very progenitors of these concepts, Dr. Blackburn, I am certainly not talking about that guy, Bill Andrews. I don't care what his degrees are. I hope he's using the money he made for some wonderful research, and I'll bet you he's well-intentioned and just looking to make the buck. And I'm not even going to knock that. I don't like being critical. You don't know what people's hidden motives are. But I do want to say this is what it costs you, and that's what I've explained. And I want to say when Dr. Blackburn, who I think is impeccable, look at this, reducing picture 9. Reducing stress slows the loss of the telomere. That simply means that everything you do for health sustains that telomere. There's nothing in the name of health that doesn't help the telomere. Think good thoughts. Exercise. There's a ton of research on how exercise. Now, you see now, here's my point. There's a ton of research on the fact that exercise increases telomere longevity. Exercise. So now we have two big, highly studied things. Exercise, reduce stress. How about love? How about if every day you fell in love again? Every single day. Think of the day you fell in love, the week you fell in love, the month, the year that you fell in love. Think of that feeling every day for the rest of your life. I'll bet you that enhances the telomere length. I'll guarantee you it does. Tomorrow you find out you won lotto. You don't have to work the next 30 years, and you've got 20 million a year to spend. I'll bet you that will increase the length of your telomeres. How about if you go to the bathroom and you're no longer constipated? How about if your bile flows? How about if you regulate your pH? How about if you do all the cleanses and you say, I feel 30 years younger? You feel 30 years younger. Well, we're not sure you do feel 30 years younger. We're going to go in and study your cells in 42,000 different ways, and we'll come out with an answer in 10 years to tell you what you already can swear by. You see, this is the thing about science. You better understand it, or you're going to find that your head's in between a vice. And once you do understand it, well, then you have to continue experimentally through trial and error to your experience. We're never going to get on the other side of that. We often think we will. I come back to this all the time with you. As Christians, this is a good show to come back to this concept all the time with you. We will never replace God. Where is the word God in this discussion? Where's the word spirit in this discussion? Where was God? Where was spirituality? Where was the Garden of Eden? Where were the Testaments? Where is the Bible? Where is any of this relevant? Well, you know, in the Renaissance, in the 1500s, all of this was relevant. But those guys ended up in trouble. Galileo, who was a devout Catholic, ended up in a lot of trouble. And some 150, 200 years later, René Descartes did not want to make the same mistake. And so he said to the Vatican, you do the spirituality, I'll do the science. They have nothing to do with each other. So we're never going to have a problem, and I, René, will never end up in the guillotine like Giordano Bruno. And on that fate, we sealed through this decree, this indirect decree, right? It wasn't like the Magna Carta. We didn't hail it as a degree historically. You didn't learn this decree this agreement, this handshake. You didn't learn about it in school, did you, in grammar school? No, you learned about the Magna Carta. You learned about Charlemagne. You learned about the French Revolution. You learned about the Declaration of Independence. If you even learned about the Declaration of Independence, if you're under 15, you probably haven't. But back then, there was an indirect agreement between the church and the scientists to stay away from each other. So you see, here we are looking to enhance aging, looking to live to 150 years old, looking at least, you know, that's the thing. People don't want to live to 150 years old. You talk to so many of the older population, and you know what? You tell someone that's 85, you know, you could live to 120. And you know what most of them do? They look at me, and they look at me like, you know, young man, it's so nice to be called young man in your 50s. You're not called young man when you check out at the cashier. But if you talk to someone that's 20, 25, 30 years old, they know that's a lot of time. And they remind you, I don't want to live to 110 or 120. I just don't want to end up senescent and feeble in a chair, a burden to my family, in an old age home or otherwise. I don't want that. I want to live the years I have left strong. That's what they tell you. And my point to you is that there is the word God in the telomere. And we have to wrap ourselves around that. And I'll tell you where, if I'm going to proceed on the foundation of science, I'm going to tell you where God begins and the telomere ends. I'm going to tell you that the telomere ends as a marker, just something we can measure that tells us we're doing good or we're doing worse. So it's not without merit that we talk about the telomere. But to fix the telomere is to just get healthy. Everything under God's dome that confers health helps the telomere. So what are you buying TA-65 for? Now hold that thought, and let's get to the climax here. Come on down to picture 25. The telluric ground currents. The telluric ground currents. You see, the minute you tell a chemist about the telluric ground currents, the minute Dr. Blackburn is approached with a discussion about the telluric ground currents or the Schumann waves, you see, now she's gone. She walks out of that room. So does Dr. Andrews. So do all your chemists. Because now we're in that cagey field, that speculative field called biophysics. Now we're talking at the level of physics. Now we're talking at biological physics. Now we're talking about Nikola Tesla. Now we're talking about Royal Rife. Now we're talking about people who are saying, we can play around with the telomere and the DNA forever, but if you don't understand that basically it's a crystal who can be heavily influenced by vibration, those vibrations coming out of the earth, and that's where we should put our energy, you lose all of chemistry. And all of chemistry really is how we understand health. We don't understand health through biophysics. We understand it through chemistry. And this is the hole in the game. Honestly, I don't really mean what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. Take all your telomere research and flush it down the toilet. Truly, flush it down the toilet for what it's really worth. You know what it comes down to? Get healthy. Now, if you want therapy, find about those telluric currents. Understand, now go to picture 27. There's something coming out of the sky called a Schumann resonance. And that resonance, in conjunction with the resonance from the ground, compels your body to train itself through ritual to be a conduit to connect the two, to connect the earth and the sky through the human organism, as that organism through discipline and merit and virtue is trained to where it can actually transmit or be the medium through which both of those levels connect to each other, is really where your health is. And do you know who understood that? Well, look at picture number 31. Picture 31, Machu Picchu. What do you think they were doing there? Look at picture 32. The Sphinx, 12,000 years old. What do you think the initiates of the Sphinx were doing? What do you think ancient medicine understood? What do you think the Garden of Eden was? Go to picture 33. That's John Anthony West. Look his name up. He is a renegade archaeologist. It's part of a consortium that's changing our chronology and changing our understanding of who's who and what's what. And I guarantee you, as sure as there was a Nikola Tesla, as sure as there is a word meridian, as sure as there is a God, and there certainly is a God, as sure as Jesus took our sins, there is another perspective and another foundation for health way beyond the biochemistry. 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. If you are lost in this labyrinth with health concerns and you want to get put on the right track, you call my office, make the appointment, and let me put you in the right direction. 714-850-1007. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.